The topic of my message is forgive to be forgiven. And the text is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 to 15. Matthew 6, 8 to 15. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But in our prayer here, we always say, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. This is due to the Church of England Common Prayer Book that has thus stated, which is based on verse 14 and 15 as we come to it. And lead us not into the temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So I think the Common Prayer Book incorporates these explanatory sentences to make it clearer. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Lord, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he taught us, stresses one conditional point. If we come to church with a grudging heart, someone has hurt you, whatever it may be, your heart is not clean. And if you don't forgive someone who is supposed to have hurt you, neither will the Heavenly Father forgive you. That is the condition. For Peter, the chief apostle, one day thought that he had really good endurance and patience. Shall I forgive my brother 7 times? Ordinarily, depending on our own strength, we may forgive another person 2x. And after that, no. Jesus told Peter, not only 7 times, 70 times 7, to no end. Because if we will record the many things that we do every day that are displeasing to God, taking God lightly even, it may amount to 100 times, and we are not aware. But at any rate, the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew chapter 6 is also recorded in Luke chapter 11. And there the introduction says that when the Lord had finished praying, a certain disciple then asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." How true it is. We do not know how to pray and we pray the wrong things. I have to teach some old members all their life and they still do not know whether they are saved or not. And I simply say, "Lord Jesus, save me," because that person is dying. Just say, "Lord Jesus," add the word "Lord," because He is God and the Son of God. "Lord Jesus, save me." A very simple prayer. And so the Lord taught us this wonderful prayer which comprehends all the necessary things that we should say to God and to His glory. But I had a student who graduated from Far Eastern Bible College and he went to America to study. When he came back, he wore a big square hat, showing off. As for me, I struck out the Lord's Prayer from my order of worship. But we have been following the pattern of praying together as a family, the Lord's Prayer, since 1950, we started Life Church. And how the Lord has blessed this prayer when we pray together. The reason why he struck out the Lord's Prayer from his order of worship, as he said, "My people don't understand, they're very mechanical, and they just mumble, mumble, mumble. Do they know anything about the Lord's Prayer?" Very haughty. But this is a universal prayer of the whole church, of every denomination. But a young upstart comes up to strike it out. Well, he missed a very important point, and that is attached to this Lord's Prayer. Jesus makes a condition. If you ask God to forgive you, and you don't forgive your brother, or your father, or your brother has something against you, and you do not make it up, then your account with me is not settled. Your prayer drops from the ceiling right away, can never ascend to the place of God. We have, therefore, as Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 5, that you have brought a gift to the altar. And when you come to the altar, you suddenly remember that your brother has a grudge against you for whatever you did to him. Better leave the gift at the altar, go and make up with him, then come and present your gift. It is just like coming to the Lord's Supper service and you realize that there is a brother who has something against you. Before the service, you see him come into church. It's better for you to humble yourself and ask his forgiveness. Then you have a clear heart to take the Lord's Supper and to receive His blessing. Otherwise, you are eating to your own condemnation.
If God will forgive you, why is it you don't forgive your brother? That is a situation, and that is a way, according to the condition of this Lord's Prayer, that God will look after us. I have said in one of my sermons that the church is a gospel center, but it has often become a gossip center, which has resulted in quarrels and splits. In our baby churches of 60 or 70 unit today, I can count on the fingers those churches that have split because of quarrels in the church. All due to a lot of loose talk and many things are falsely disseminated, believed, and further spread on. It is said that then God will not give you the blessings of righteousness. It brings much heartache and sleeplessness. There is a verse in Proverbs, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the struggles of a castle, like the bars of a castle. So it is very good for us to watch over our associations with one another and to prevent such unhappy happenings. Let me tell you the story of two oldest pastors in our old Presbyterian Synod, the Chinese Synod. Both of them were over 80. They were the friendliest and closest of brothers. But one day something happened that tore the friendship of these two people apart. My father, being a respectable presbyter, elder in the Synod, used his utmost strength, using the Chinese proverb, the strength of 9 bullocks and 2 tigers, to bring them together. But he failed flatly. And so there was a great sadness. Until their death, they never made up. One of them lived up to 92. So sad to go to heaven, not having patched up with his brother. And that is a spirit that prevails in a situation when there is a controversy. And one party not willing to humble and to make up. I'm referring to the present situation in our church And there has been distributed today a statement by one party, statement of clarification by the contributors of preserving our godly path paper on the Board of Elders Statement of Reconciliation published in the Church Weekly dated 5th January 2003. And there are a lot of explanations until we come to the final paragraph. And they're very strong to defend the Word of God. We reject any accusation that the position implies that we are saying that the Bible, the Word of God, has mistakes. Praise the Lord. Now they deny that there are any mistakes in the Bible. No errors. We firmly believe that the Bible is infallible and inerrant, the very Word of God, the supreme and final authority in faith and life. Amen. That's exactly what I say. Only I add the word perfect. And I say 100% perfect. But this is the same. No mistakes. The Bible is infallible, inerrant, the very Word of God, the supreme and final authority in faith and life. I'm very, very happy to read this statement. Because of my testimony as pastor of this church, I do not give way, and I cannot concede in any way to smear the name of God. I tell you, if you say something and take it very lightly about God, and detract from His glory and majesty, it is worse than committing murder. I've studied some law, and the first crime that you can commit is to be disloyal to the queen or the king. That's the number one, not murder. And those who talk of God and are not careful has God's disfavor on them. Now the Bible says again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. I don't want to support Bush. Not fair. You want to say, you will find some smoking gun even. But they have not found anything against Saddam Hussein. And yet he is pursuing war. We as Christians must pray for peace. That's what Jesus says. And now I'm offering my olive branch to those who have now come to the position there are no mistakes, when at one time they said 99.99. But that detracts from the glory of God. I extend to them an olive branch. And let us all forget about it and unite the church again. The members here don't care what you are talking about. They don't understand. They want a united church, a happy church. And I'm willing to go all out to make peace. Can be over in 3 minutes. Well, To come to this situation where we humble ourselves is not easy. Let me tell you the marvelous working of the Holy Spirit in the time of Dr. John Soong in the 1930s. When I was saved in tears and repentance. But the greater marvel was to see elders and deacons mutually confessing their sins because of the many years of hatred in the church of leaders. And how can God bless them when they come to serve the Holy Communion when they were at odds? But now they wept on one another's shoulders. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work among us. I'm not saying that we are perfect. There's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of misrepresentations on both sides. And we are just as guilty. I'm not saying that we are the better group. But if we realize our mistakes, and we come together, everything is over. And we have a powerful church that can march on for missions waiting for the coming of the Lord, which is very soon. And I was glad to say, I have a chance of being raptured. I can live a bit longer. No need to go through death, because the times are such. But now, I would like to apply today's lessons on very intimate relationships between members of the family. I met a friend in Perth this time. Husband and wife went there hoping that a new land would hold them together. But they got worse and they were just on the point of divorce. When the Lord, through a sermon somewhere, struck their hearts, and both husband and wife repented. Because they were nominal Christians, now they came to the feet of the Lord. And they told me, you think that these couples going in and out are happy? From our experience, outwardly we appear all right. Inwardly, we are about to divorce. And such a situation makes it very, very precarious. It is to leave your first love. The Church of Ephesus was a loving wife, bride to the Lord Jesus Christ, figuratively speaking. But now the Lord comes and is very unhappy. But you have left your first love. If a wife is no more a wife to the husband, but just like a servant and will do the homework dutifully, the marriage cannot hold. And so there are husbands and wives through the years, we must admit, familiarity breeds contempt. And that's the first danger. And then, extramarital relationships happen. Not only on the male side, but also on the female side, as being reported in the papers. Let us humbly come before the Lord and make up. Then the matter of taking care of our parents between children and their fathers and mothers. Our Chinese culture dictates that children should somehow support their parents in their old age. The Jewish custom is the same, and Jesus rebuked them who tried to lessen their support. Jesus told them off. Of course, on the other side, parents are to be understanding when their children are not earning so well. But the trouble is the children, the more they earn, the less they give. Let me quote Confucius again. I know you forget it already. So I'm quoting this for the third time. Confucius says, if you gradually support your parents, it's no better than feeding dogs and horses. There must be the element of love. My parents did so much for me when I was a baby. Now they are in need. What's wrong to return some to them? And finally, I'd like to apply it to members of the church towards their God. It's wonderful to read in Life Church Weekly the back page. The number of people who give out of love and gratitude to the Lord. The Lord has done this for me. I return a bit to Him. All the time. But there are those who zealously support the church and give their tithes. But suddenly the spirit of covetousness comes in and they want to earn a fast buck. So they go and buy shares and they use the Lord's money to play shares. And then they get bitten. You know, playing shares is like gambling. And so they give the Lord the leftovers, the tips, the leftovers, the small change. The Lord also speaks to us. It's high time we return and repent and serve the Lord. In all these actions, the condition of the Lord that if you do not make up with a brother and so forth, neither will I forgive you your sins. We have got to make up with our parents, make up with our husbands, make up with our wives. That reminds me of a most wonderful parable that the Lord taught that we should learn. There was a man who owed the king 10,000 talents. It is almost like $1 million. And he could not pay the debt, so he begged the king, forgive me. And the king had compassion and said, all right, I let you go. But this same man, leaving the palace, met his friend who owed him $100, 100 pence. And he caught him by the throat and said, pay me immediately. If you don't pay me, I'll send you to prison. The fellow said, please give me some time. No, immediately you pay. And when he did not pay, he put him truly into prison. Now I won't tell you the answer. I ask you, go and look up Matthew chapter 18, 23. And you'll find the answer. What will the king do to this fellow whom he pardoned? Almost $1 million. I end this message with this parable to you. When they pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee in repentance, in fear and trembling, because we have not regarded Thee, the great Almighty God. Help us to love Thee with all our heart and to be loyal to Your cause to the uttermost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.